There is joy available to us that we are just barely scratching the surface of. The other day, I was in the church kitchen heating up my lunch, and it's in the microwave, and so I'm looking out the kitchen window at this parking lot. And somebody pulls into the parking lot, it's middle of the day, and oftentimes middle of the day, people coming into the church parking lot are coming for that view. You can look. It's beautiful. They come right out front, and they sit there, and they take it in. And I love that. It's much better than some of the other reasons why people come into the church parking lot. And I'm going to try to stay focused. This man did something I don't think I've seen before from somebody coming into the church parking lot. He drives in, and he parks his car facing that way. He's over in the parking lot facing that way. If you're the person joining us from Florida, there is a gray wall all along where he was parked. It's a beautiful wall. Thank you, Joe Friesen, and everybody here who helped Tony Brenneman for help to make that. It's a beautiful wall. But if he were to do a 180, he would see this. Yes, you can look. This is what many of us in our spiritual lives are doing. We're staring at a wall. I'll tell another story about that. Many years ago, before Kate and Jonathan were born, this was maybe 25 years ago, many of you were not born, and our family, Mike and I and his family, took a trip out to St. Louis to go to a baseball game. And the hotel we stayed in was a little bit different. My first clue that the hotel was a little different was we're in the elevator going up the stairs, and there's carpet on the wall of the elevator, which I don't think I'd ever seen before. And the reason I noticed it is because there's an imprint of an iron. I can't say that word very well. Iron, you know, the thing that we used to use to get the wrinkles out of our clothes. There's an imprint of an iron in the carpet in the wall of the elevator. I thought, well, okay, I'm not here to judge. That's fine. But then we get up to our room, the hotel room, and you know, the first thing that many of us do when we walk into a hotel room is we open up the blinds or we pull apart the curtains, we let some light come in. Well, this particular hotel, I went to go open up the blinds, and I kid you not even a foot away, there is a brick wall right there on the other side of the window. My point in that is somebody who designed the building had bad design ideas in mind. Maybe they just wanted to let the light in, and that's fine. But God has a better design for us than to stare at a wall and to think we're stuck. Sometimes it's not that our backs are up against the wall and we're moving in the wrong direction. Some of us here are like the man on my street who is always out tinkering under his old cars. And it probably brings him a lot of joy and is life-giving, and that's great. But for me, spiritually, I don't want to be tinkering my whole life. We do not have enough time available for all of us to putz around and just take our time. I'll share a somewhat embarrassing example about this. I used to think there'll be more time later. There'll be more time. Here's an example. Back in April or May, I started to notice this funny smell coming from our washing machine, the machine that's supposed to get things clean, the machine that you put soap into, but too much soap. Anyway, it's a long story. And so I started thinking, okay, I need to clean the washing machine. It's not smelling very good, but I'm just going to wait until after soccer season is done. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to wait until after graduation is done, and then I'll get it cleaned. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. We got this trip coming up to Goshen. I'm just going to wait. Well, this past week, I started back to seminary, and my clothes that were coming out of the washing machine were no longer smelling fresh and clean. So late at night, Mike and I are cleaning the washing machine and doing a load of laundry, which is just what you want to do before you return back to class. All that to say, I thought I would have more time later. We don't get more time. We have right now. We have right now. Here is why this matters. If you are here in person, turn your head to the left and turn your head to the right. And if you're online or in person, think of someone that you love. The pace at which we are willing to turn around and follow Jesus instead of looking at Jesus and saying, "Come, Jesus, follow me." I'm guilty of that. The pace at which we are willing to turn around and follow Jesus has ripple effects on the people here and the people we care about, and maybe even on our physical and mental and emotional health. See, part of our confusion about how to see God's presence here in the world, when our friend Nell passed away this week, we could imagine her transition into Jesus' loving arms. But God's presence seems like absence. When horrific things happen in Minnesota or Gaza or many other places. Many of us know and believe that Jesus died, rose to new life, and then ascended to be with God in heaven. So here's an illustration for what we think Jesus is doing right now. Did you catch a game last night?
Yeah.
Texas? No. Manning? Not yet. Oh, there's really nothing new under the sun down there, is there? I did the Wordle on the first try again. Our circumstances lie to us and tell us that God is remote and uncaring, absent and aloof, bored. And our challenge today is to be people of faith, to rely not only on what we see. And I get it. It can be difficult to remind ourselves of who God is when death and loss and violence and greed and all the other things are pressing in. It's why someone here at the women's luncheon last week, I forget exactly how this person said it, but basically it was that they discovered their remote has an off button. Maybe yours does too, right? Like there's a power button. We have the power to push that off. I've got a friend in Harrisonburg who 2 days a week, he goes on a news fast. He knows that his mom will contact him if anything really pressing that he wants to be locked in on right away happens. But 2 days a week, he goes on a news fast. What is the most important step we could take as people seeking to live faithfully? So that at the end of our day and at the end of our lives, we are growing in faith rather than depleting ourselves of it. And here's why it matters, Zion. There are people in this room who are tempted to give up on Jesus. There are people in North Carolina who believe that they are done for and forgotten. They are stuck on one side of the river and expect the same misery for the rest of their days here and in heaven. This passage says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. The word made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. I want to say, lest I forget it, Zion leaders, you are doing and have done an extraordinary job here. I want to thank you for your service in this place. I want to tell a story about one of my leaders who spoke the word of God to me. And many of you know this person. It's Irvin Stutzman. He and his wife, Bonnie, pastored here. I was on a pastoral team with them for 16 months. And at the end of that time, when I became lead pastor, that was November 15, 2020, I had the extreme honor of being mentored by him almost every month, usually for about an hour, sometimes more, sometimes less. And I'm reminded now to add a little detail about this story, which is there was a day about a month in, and something had gone sideways and wasn't going well. And I was like, well, okay, that was it. That was a nice run. Good try. And I called Irvin, and he said, here is how I know you are going to be okay. Because you called for help. It is not what we have and who we are. It is knowing who we can call and go to. That is a brave and courageous act. So Irvin and I, on these Zoom meetings, we'd meet once a month about, and I had a careless habit, words that came carelessly out of my mouth when I would first log into the Zoom, and we'd see each other, and I'd say, how you doing? Just kind of careless throwaway words. But by that, I meant, how's your family? How's Bonnie? How's your cancer? But that's not what I said. I said, how you doing? And almost every time, he had two variations of his response. The first response was he'd kind of shrug his shoulders and look down at the ground humbly, and he'd say, oh, I'm doing well. And then he'd go on and tell me about the bike ride that he'd taken that morning that brought him joy or something else that was life-giving in his life. Or the other variation was instead of saying, I'm doing well, sometimes he'd say, oh, I'm doing very well. Now, Irvin was grounded in reality. He knew he had cancer. He had a son that passed away from suicide. Irvin was grounded in the reality of life. He knew the challenges happening in the world. And he had a deeper foundation that was a well of life for him that he was also rooted in. So I may have said this before. I can be a slow learner. And so I would ask this question repeatedly. How are you doing? Well, about a year ago, we were at a Virginia Mennonite Conference delegate session, summer delegate assembly, and we're at Harrisonburg Mennonite Church. There's a big room packed with delegates and pastors, and we're on a break, and I see Irvin. We go up to each other and talk, and you can guess what careless words came out of my mouth. I said, oh, how you doing? And I was expecting angst or frustration because at this particular delegate assembly, many congregations were leaving. And, Irvin was a leader of the church, former executive director of Mennonite Church USA. He was on the Faith and Life Commission for Virginia Mennonite Conference. He was heavily invested in the church and cared deeply about the church. I was expecting tension in him like the tension that filled the room. Do you know what he said? He said, oh, I'm doing okay. He had a foothold for him that was beyond what I understood at the time. He was not caught up in his circumstances. He was not dependent on his circumstances to bring him joy. He looked to God for that, God's presence in the world. Yes, in this world. Yes, we do have trouble, absolutely. We miss our loved ones. All manner of violence and greed have happened. And just like in the passage, people are imprisoned and mistreated and lusting and judging and striving, forgetting. And it is difficult to understand or trust and rely on God, who says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you," when there is so much trouble to be had, and God seems to be absent and uncaring. I was going to give us an assignment, and because of time, I'm going to skip that. Maybe we'll come back to it another day. One of the ways that God has transformed my life these last 2 years is I have begun to integrate what I believe about Jesus with how I live. Mennonites and some other denominations believe that how we live matters. Contrary to popular belief, the church or the conference or a denomination does not exist for itself. The purpose of the church is not to keep the church going. The purpose of the church is to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to be people of faith. That the same Jesus who gave the church the Great Commission in the next breath said, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." And catch this. Then he left. That's when he ascended, physically. And yet still physically, somehow, Jesus is with us. So Jesus' presence with us is less about something physical that we can see, and it is more about Jesus equipping us to love. Think to yourself, why does it matter whether the church or you and I who are seeking to follow Jesus, why does it matter whether or not we look for the presence of Jesus? Play it out in your mind what would happen if no one had faith that Jesus is present. Would the church be hopeful or discouraged? Would people be focused or overwhelmed? Would people say, "Yes, Lord, here I am," when Jesus calls them to do something that is impossible without God? Or would we curl up under the covers and hide? Right now, there is a little girl weeping because she thinks that she is all alone. Mom and dad are gone. Right now, a young adult, he has friends who have betrayed him, and no one understands what it is like. There is a wise old banker surrounded by debts that cannot be paid, and each banknote has a name, a photo, and a story. And we think the banker is distant and mean or aloof, but the banker knows and cares for each one. Jesus described God like a mother hen tucking her chicks under her wing. And maybe that analogy is less about being safe and warm and more about our location close to God's heart. I could tell you a story about a church that kept on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Everyone here who has used Mennonite Your Way, which is a lodging program back before Airbnb and Vrbo, it's for hospitable Mennonites, we could raise our hands and tell stories about encountering angels unaware, I could tell you about Carla and Karen and Zoe and Becky and Lori and a whole team of drivers who were present with a family that had been mistreated as though they themselves were suffering. See, when we have faith that Jesus is present, we get to be part of something much larger than ourselves. We get to do things that look impossible, like overcoming evil. Sometimes overcoming evil looks like honoring your marriage or that of our neighbors. Sometimes overcoming evil is the college student here who tithes to Zion. Listen, I don't know the amount that was given. I don't want to. I know enough to know that is extraordinary. That is not expected. It is extraordinary that a group of young adults would drive out to a country church in the morning rather than sleep in. And God uses your step, your act of faith, your knowledge this morning. I think you all crushed it. I didn't hear the final score in the trivia game, but well done. Your act of faith impacts everybody else in this room. Actually, it even impacts somebody who's online, and I'll tell you that story later. Ask me. I'm skipping some parts because of time. Aaron has printed out some scripture verses for us to take with us. And there's three different verses. You can take all of them if you like. You can take one of them. I encourage you to put it someplace where you want to see Jesus. Put it in your pocket so that you are reminded you are held close to Jesus' heart. I close today with a prayer of faith and hope. May God remind us that God is present always. May we learn that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that doesn't mean bored or boring. May God's Spirit inspire us into hope and faith beyond our circumstances and into new life. Because Jesus, who calls us, is faithful and will do this. Amen.